God gives more than we could ask, but He also asks more than we can give. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. We're finding some principles of heavenly economics in the familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000, also known as the lunch that changed the world. In the kingdom, large needs can be filled from a small supply if we add faith and obedience. That all sounds very nice as a generality, but how could we apply it to a specific church and to individuals and families? Here's Jim.
The third movement of the marvelous story is very simple. There are two results that are pointed out. First of all, Jesus doesn't want anything lost. And so He tells them to go out and to pick up all the fragments, all the pieces of bread that are left over. The multitude is now full. Its appetite has been satisfied. They end up with 12 baskets full. Now remember, this started with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. 5,000 men plus women and children are all fed. They are filled. And we end up with more than what we began with. How is that possible? Here's the overall lesson Jesus is teaching. Here's the lesson. God is not limited like we are. And when we accept the responsibility of the call of God upon our hearts to do things we cannot do with resources we do not have, He knows all about that. And when we bring Him what we have and dedicate it to Him, He does the multiplying. So that in the end, there is more than there was at the beginning when the task is finished. That's the lesson. The lesson is that God delights to multiply the resources given to Him to meet the need, to meet the challenge that He places upon His disciples. And then the other lesson is that marvelous verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, surely this is truly the prophet that has come into the world. That's a great apex. That's a great moment in Jesus' life. That's an incredible moment when the multitude, seeing this experience and experiencing this miracle, became impressed that Jesus was the promised one, the one who was to come into the world. Sad to say, the next day, when the discussion takes place at Capernaum, their great enthusiasm had mellowed and their faith had melted. But in this moment, there was such a wave, such an impact from what God did through multiplying the loaves, that the people tried to take Jesus forcibly and make Him king. And Jesus would have none of that. That was not the way, that was not the program, that was not the desired end. But at least for a moment, the multitude moved from curiosity to confession. At least for the moment, the citizenry of Jesus' day were forced to conclude that His claim was valid and that the signs that He worked supported and substantiated that claim, that He truly was more than man. That He truly was that special one, Messiah, who would come into the world. Now, in your bulletin today, we've put an orange-colored brochure like this. This is designed to help us as a congregation experience some of these same marvelous qualities. Had John's presentation not been truncated by the absence of visuals, you would have been astonished that your leaders are thinking and dreaming about the necessity of investing beyond the matter of everyday ministry, beyond the matter of continuing to support missions with 25 cents out of every dollar you give, beyond the matter of maintaining ministry opportunities to help you grow, to help you mature, to help you develop evangelism skills, and to demonstrate your faith in this community. That's a large chunk of change. And my suspicion is if I could walk up and down the aisles today and honestly know, which I don't, but honestly know the resources, the tangible resources that are here, my guess is that most of us would sit here thinking, oh, wait a minute, I got retirement, I've got grandkids, I've got my own family, I got house payments, I got car payments, I've got. And you could give a litany of demands upon those dollars God has entrusted to you through your paycheck. And the first response that is always, always heard is, oh, so God, who has everything, has decided he's going to take more of what little I have to do the big thing he's going to do, right? And that's the natural response. That's exactly the response of the disciples when they faced the 5,000 hungry people. God, we can't do this. We do not have enough resources at our fingertips to be able to meet the need. God, this is beyond us. We can't do it. And the good word is this morning that God smiles and says, yes, I know that. If you could do it, you wouldn't need me. And I want to partner with you. I want to teach you the same lesson I taught my disciples back there on that Galilean hillside. That when I call or commission a work to be done, it's always larger than the resources of my disciples. I want to partner with them. And I want them to learn some invaluable lessons about the law of heavenly economics. That's why on the front of the little brochure, there are four reasons why we are doing this. These are the four reasons, and if we miss these four reasons, or if you don't believe these are the four reasons we're doing this, then we won't even go one Sunday. It's not worth it. The first reason is to encourage systematic giving. I do not know what you give. I do not see the records of the church and have no interest in what you give or if you give at all. But the people who are responsible for keeping those details tell me that a vast majority of people do not systematically give to the Lord. They're tippers. They give spontaneously, if at all. And the first group we want to encourage to take the first step of systematic giving. That is, intentionally planning every Sunday to honor God with a portion of the physical resources he has given to you. That's our first goal. All of us should be intentional in our habits of stewardship. Secondly, to experience the faithfulness of God. I'm amazed at how many people go through thousands of dollars and never, ever experience those things that impress upon them that God is faithful and that what you have is really His. That it's really not my paycheck. It really isn't my job. It really is His talent on loan to me. As the famous radio broadcaster loves to say. And it's also His energy and His grace that gives me the capacity to be entrusted with His resources. We want to learn that. We want to experience the faithfulness of God. Thirdly, we want to envision needed facilities. Now, note that word, envision needed facilities. Many of the ministries of the church are not as expansive and not as fruitful as they could be and might be. These are not just random thoughts that have dropped like apples off the tree. These are intentional targets designed to help us respond to what you and your leaders have said and what we in our hearts have believed God wants us to do as a congregation. Now, envisioning those needed facilities is a step or two before building them. We have no specific plans. All of that is still out there in the future. Envisioning means we need, as leaders, to know if the people of God are prepared to share in that vision and to step into that role. Here, Lord, are the 5 barley loaves we have. And lastly, to explore the promises of God. Over the next 7 weeks, we'll be visiting a number of passages where God makes some very exciting promises to those who will bring the 5 barley loaves and consecrate them and their hearts to Him. That's the purpose for the 7 weeks. We call it 7 weeks of miracles here at Grace. It's for all of us, beginning with me. Each of the elders, all the officers, all the Sunday school teachers, each of you who are members and friends and associates here at Grace, it's 7 weeks this fall designed to raise the level of our understanding and our experience of God's faithfulness in the powerful multiplication of what we bring to Him. Here's how it works. Open the little brochure very quickly. For some of you, the first column will be the biggest column because you've never given systematically. We would encourage you, I would encourage you to take an amount of money from what God has prospered you and put it there in that first column, normal gift, and intend and write the check for that. That may be as far as your faith will allow you to go. Some of us who give regularly can move to the second column, and that says, you know, if I didn't eat out 3 times this week, I could give that additional $25 to the ministries of feeding the 5,000. If I didn't get my wife an anniversary gift, I could take that extra $14 and I knew that would test the water. Well, it's not my job to meddle. It's just my job to probe you to get alone with the Lord and to ask, are there areas in my financial life where I am being unwise? Where I could give additional sums to the Lord. Write that amount there. Now, that third column, faith gift, that's the one where I say, unless God provides, I cannot give more than I'm giving. That's where I take an amount of money and I say, God, I'm going to trust you to bless my gift and to make it possible for me to give this an additional sum. Now, let me tell you what has happened in the past. God has met people in just unusual ways, incredible ways. One man was determined that he was going to embarrass me in the church. And so he wrote $449 under faith gift. This was in addition to a normal gift that was good and a could give that was generous. In addition to that, he wrote $449. And he could hardly wait till Wednesday night, 2 weeks later, to come to me and to say, you owe me $449. On that Wednesday morning, when that two-week period was coming to a close, he received a check in the mail for $4,490-some. It was an old debt that had been forgiven 20 years before. He had long since forgotten about it. Can that happen to you? I'm here to tell you, it happens to some people almost weekly. Does this mean that God will make you rich? Is this a way to increase your income? No. No, but this is a marvelous promise from God that He will take the 5 loaves and 2 fish, inadequate for the task, and He will multiply them, return them to you to pass out to the people. And through your hands, through your gifts, God will bring the blessing that He desires to the hearts of the 5,000 men plus women and children. Well, our Father, You want us as Your disciples to learn to give hilariously. You want us to give systematically. You want us to give because we love You. You want us to give out of a sense of stewardship. You want us to give because in response to our giving, You promise to bless the gifts and accomplish things that are incredible, far beyond our comprehension. You promise that when the project is finished, whatever it is, there will be 12 baskets full left over, because that's the kind of God You are. You want to convince us, living in a materialistic world, that You are God of the material, that You delight to make us partners with You in the ventures of faith, but You are by far the senior partner. And the resources that You bring to bear are far greater than anything we could ever imagine. Remind us this morning that it was Your love for the 5,000 who came hungry that prompted You to make the disciples responsible. It was Your love for the disciples that caused You to implicate them in this faith-stretching experience. It was Your love that called the disciples to the hands-on experience of distributing blessed bread and watching as the bread kept multiplying and being personally involved as an agent of heavenly grace, standing between the Savior and the hungry multitude, distributing the blessed bread. Remind us that someday all of this will be behind us and we'll be at home with You in heaven, and those 12 baskets full will then be significant. And we will be able there to give to You praise and love and honor, and to express to You our deep appreciation for Your grace and mercy to us out of the resources of the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish we give You now. Lord, the world around us presses upon us, increasing its demands for our dollars, our time, our attention. And You're not like that. Quietly, persistently, lovingly, You invite us to become partners with You in an adventure of faith. And in that adventure, You are the supplier. We are the distributors, the multitudes, are blessed. And through that process, they are somehow, by your grace and mercy, caused to see that you are a living God and that you are a work in our world, not just saving us from our sins, but transforming the very stuff of our lives and accomplishing in us and through us things that are truly eternally significant. To remind you this morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never come to Him, the message this morning is not designed for you specifically. And I would invite you to discover for yourself this morning what the multitudes came to see, that Jesus is God and that He is Lord over the bread and the fish, and He is Lord over the sea and the land, and He is Savior, able to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart, life, and give you the gift of everlasting life. Now, brothers and sisters, for 7 weeks, may God draw us together as one. Teach us to trust Him and give us the joy of partnering with Him in such a way that we tangibly see His active grace and blessing in our lives and in those around us. Now, Father, may your blessing rest upon us. May your Spirit direct us as we privately, individually contemplate this challenge for the next 7 weeks. You show us what you would have us do and give us delight in knowing we are giving delight to you and being a blessing for you in this old world in which we live. We ask this favor in and through the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Where faith collides with the family budget, people can get a little nervous. But as with everything else, the matter is no more complicated than hearing the voice of God and obeying. Our willingness is the key. Jim has walked us through some theology and its application in his sermon, The Lunch That Changed the World. In return for a gift of $7 or more, we'll send that sermon to you on CD. It's part of our current series called Special Works Jesus Did, and the 13 discs in that album are all yours for an offering of $45 or more. I'll let you know how to order after this quick reminder. Right Start is here today, the 12th of July, providing good Bible teaching because people like you gave to support the ministry. And summer may be the time we need your aid the most. Please pray and give as the Lord leads, and He'll amply supply us as He always has. If you'd like to help out, mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or simply call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And definitely find our website, rightstartradio.org. There we make the radio shows available on demand. The complete sermons are there too. Now the Daily Right Start podcast is on the iTunes platform. That keeps you in the flow of Jim's messages even when you're far away from this great radio station. But we'll get you connected there on our site. And we've got a way for you to email us, a way to donate, and more at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Jesus walking on the water is an amazing sign filled with significance. Peter walking on the water is a whole different level of miracle. That's what we'll be talking about on Thursday's Right Start.